Moncrief on News Talk.
With me, because it's Thursday, it is Adult, and we have Declan Buckley and Mary McAvoy in studio to solve all of your woes.
To solve all of your woes.
Pretend Barbara's Scully.
Pretend. I can't believe it's not Barbara.
I can't believe it's not Barbara.
Declan, why were you laughing at me?
I've been laughing since I sat down. We were just laughing. Oh, I forget now.
Because I said I didn't like sport.
Yes, you said you didn't like sport, and then you said tennis wrecks your head. And I was just visualising how tennis could wreck somebody's head.
Because the point system is words and numbers, and they're not consecutive. So there's, what's when you have no points?
Yes,
love. Yes. Right? For no reason. Then it's 15, 30, 40.
40 and game.
Just 40.
40 and game. Like,
and
come
juice,
on, lads.
An advantage.
Juice and like, just do 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's ancient. It's ancient. It goes right back to Charles II.
Have you heard about old money, Stephanie? This would blow your mind how people used to count out money in the shops before 1972. It would blow your mind.
Like a crown and a shilling. And no, yeah. No, thank you. I have
thruppence.
I'm so glad I was born when I was born. Anyway.
The decimal queen. That's you.
My decimal issues queen. Are not what we're here to discuss. We have three amazing questions. Here is the first one. My sister is going to get the family farm, which we all knew since she was the one who has worked the closest with my dad on it. However, on reading the will last month, it emerged that she's also being left the farmhouse. None of us, her three siblings, get a share in it at all. It's just written as fact in the will, no explanation why. Instead, we each receive small heirlooms, pieces of furniture, jewellery, etc., and a small lump sum. To say we are upset is an understatement. We feel like our parents chose a favourite and have greatly benefited her at our expense. We won't go down a legal route, but it has split our family entirely. Even aunts and uncles are weighing in on whether they agree with our parents' decision or not. They never indicated when they were alive that this was their plan. We feel totally shunned. Have you any advice on how to get past this? Is it fair to ask her to share more of the value of the house with us? I fear what's left of our family is broken forever. Now,
every time I hear something like this, it makes me so glad I'm an only child and I don't have children.
Cause I'm also an only child. So
yeah, wills are just, and particularly wills to do with farms. Are just dynamite, you know. I would counsel, obviously, I would nearly go to mediation, even though they say they're not going to go down the legal route, but to go to mediation, like family mediation, not legal, you know, not will mediation, family mediation. Because as a person who comes from a farming background, that she should get the farm and the farmhouse, unless they don't state whether she has the house of her own. If she has a house of her own, well, yeah, she should kind of maybe share out the farmhouse. But if she hasn't, and if she's been living in that house, then I kind of think that makes perfect sense. It is a bit odd, though, that she should get all of it and then everybody else get a chair, a table
and a small lump sum
or whatever. You know, that is a bit odd. But, you know, you just don't know why or what mentality. You don't know. We don't know either. Mm. So I would say try to remember your family. Go for the unity that was in your family before this happened. Keep that in the back of your mind.
On the other hand, then, like, you've no right to it. Like, it was your parents' property, and they could give it to the town dog if they wanted
to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but they're not going to contest the will, so
there's going to be bitter about it.
I think the big clue in that letter is the fact that the letter writer is saying that they're not going to go down the legal route in order to get what they think is their fair share of the property and all blah blah blah, because that would mean that it was about the specific thing, the property,
the farm.
When instead I think that this is not about an inheritance problem, but this is really about somebody struggling with their grief and finding a way to cope with what they have lost and what they're left with when they see a sibling who they already knew had kind of invested and attached themselves to the farm. Now, call me a thick old Jackie, but I don't understand how you can run a farm without being in the farmhouse. Like,
but you could have a bungalow to the side. You don't know.
Okay, well, I don't know. To me, it seemed a bit like, where do you want them to run the operations from? Where do you want them to be? And how do you expect them to actually run the farm that you seem completely happy with them running if they haven't got the spot there?
So you think it's more the pain of, like, I think you were the favourite and that's
I think it's the hurt.
And just dealing with that. And it's not even that it's the true conclusion to make is that the only thing that they're actually dealing with is in the aftermath of somebody's demise, you have, like, if they had anything to give over, they have a will and they kind of pass out their possessions. But those things are kind of, in the longer term, in a kind of a spooky spiritual way, those things become kind of irrelevant, don't they? What you're really left with is your relationship with that person, what they were. You know your own truth about your relationship with your family.
Yeah.
You don't need to have, you know, Auntie Maureen's ring to know you got along with her or didn't. Because a lot of
leave
people get
Auntie Maureen out of this. That ring.
Sorry, I forgot about that.
We have a text here saying, is a will not the decision of the deceased, regardless of how much that person was in your life or what you did for them?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's like if I had 5 jelly beans and I had 5 children, I could eat all the jelly beans before I go, and they have no right to assume. We kind of talk about it as if, you know, everybody's due their inheritance. And
but it is kind of harsh if you give all your jelly beans to one
and not
to the other four.
I think that's part of too. So it's the grief of losing the parent, but also that grief has also been fed by the idea, maybe I wasn't as valued as somebody else.
But I'm telling you, people who own farms, they want that staying
because
in the family.
Oh, I know. Absolutely, it's like, isn't it? The farm is like a concrete, it's an entity of its own. It's its own big,
it's kind of
singular
a sacred
item.
Thing.
And in Ireland, we have this really, we don't want to be splitting the farm down.
No, it's John B. Keane, like, it's my field.
Well, it is, and that goes on all the time. And I do think it's best keep land together anyway, if you can. So, I mean, and the great thing is also going to a girl in that sense, you know, usually it's the son or the big son that gets it, you know what I mean? So I definitely think they have to keep the in the back of their heads how they felt about each other before anybody died or any will was written, and then have the courage to go with that. But if there's going to be a row, I would suggest, rather than going to solicitors or he said she said, or going into a room with each other when you're going to start fighting with each other, do go to family mediation. It is worth it for just somebody to kind of go, well, now you stop there now, Mary, and I'll and what John wants to say. Do you know, somebody who will actually keep a cool head, because once you go in with that personal thing and the grief and the disappointment and all of that, it could be just a tip, you know, a power keg going up.
We have another text here. Being upset over wills is often really about how much did my parents love me.
Yes.
I think that kind of
that's
is the case. Another one, I'd sell the whole lot and skip off to Vegas. Oh my God, imagine if they're all that, the daughter
sold
the farm and the house and ditched it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be very dramatic. Yeah.
I'm sure they'd be
emailing
us again.
Don't lose your family over it. Don't lose your family if you can avoid it at all.
It is a thing though, isn't it? Is that when it comes to stuff like that, you have to kind of really try to focus on what's important to you. What is it? Is it the farm? Is it really like getting, you know, what is it, 1/5 of the farmhouse value? Or is it that you want to kind of keep your family in some way?
But if you've grown up with siblings and one of them was always preferred, it's like the final nail in the coffin, to use a terrible pun, that you're like, okay, now they're all gone and she's still getting more. Like, this is years, decades of compounded resentment over all the bigger ice creams that she got. And they're just like, I can't
speak your
take
truth
this anymore. I'm an only child, so I can say whatever I want.
But I think that again, like, why is this girl running the farm? She obviously she stepped up, and it seems that we don't have any details as to what sort of financial situation or work situation the other siblings.
This is an interesting point here on the WhatsApp. Should the begrudge, so say you had 5 jelly beans and you gave them all to one and the other 4 got nothing. Should the begrudgement be channeled towards the person who got the jelly beans? It's not their fault that they got
them. And that's what the original.
Yeah, but you can. Yeah. But there's no point in being begrudging to a dead person.
Like, no.
Try not to begrudge.
Yeah. Another email here has come in, afternoon@newstalk.com. The will has to be respected. There's nothing they can do about it. And for the extended family to be involved is crass. The work of the sister who is farming the land is being disrespected and the will of the parents is being undermined.
Yeah.
Exactly, because I think there is a separation between what, I don't know which of the parents was the last to go, but whoever was the last to go, whoever wrote the will kind of had an idea about the farm. And maybe that was the only thing they were thinking about, the farm.
Mm.
And it seemed practical and it seemed to make sense. And if, they all know you're getting the farm, then it's like, but they didn't know you were getting the farmhouse. To me, so I'm a thick city boy.
No, I mean,
I don't get that. I would assume that they would have got the place.
Well, as I said, she could have had the bungalow down the road. You just don't know.
There you go. But I must get out of town more often.
But it is. So it's very Irish, this
problem.
Like, John B. Keane is alive and well and living everywhere in rural Ireland. You know what I mean? So,
tis my field. I'm going to move on to the next question. Okay. My daughter is living with us as she saves for a house. Isn't that happening everywhere? She's in her early 30s and she's been at home now for more than a year. We've been very happy to have her while she saves. However, there's been a shift lately. She's spending money, a lot more money lately. Amazon packages arriving every other day, shopping bags when she comes home from work at least once a week and going for dinner with friends. So from what we can see, she's not saving like she was. This was supposed to be a 2-year stint to get her deposit together, but she seems like she's not really focused on that anymore. And even if she is, if she didn't spend on luxuries, she'd have her deposit sooner. Are we within our rights to ask her about her finances and how much longer it'll take her to get the deposit together? It feels like we're trying to parent a 30-something, but this is our home and we feel like she's taking advantage.
Yikes. This is there's a bang of the avocado kind of, you know, that story, the thing that the avocados, that the millennials were accused of spending all their money on avocados, and that's why
they didn't have houses.
You know, and obviously that the lie in that story has been kind of revealed by the housing crisis and all, you know, and the changes in the way that we've organised as a society. I think there's a definite clash going on here between the desire of a parent to want to give the best of opportunities and opportunities to their children, and also the desire to have their own bloody life as well.
That's what we made egots of, as they say.
What, say again?
Making an egot of your parents.
But, you know, so in this problem, I noticed, like, judging somebody because they're, you know, they ordered something on Amazon is not the same as saying, you told us you were going to be here for 2 years and you're still here and it's 4 years later. We need to have a chat. Mm. Discard the judgy thing about the, you know, yeah, buying stuff. That's silly. But
it is the case that, like, if you owe me money and I see that you're buying yourself new shoes, I'm like, hang on a second. Like, what's the priority here?
True. But how much into me observing and managing your finances do I need to get before I get my money back? You know, you're getting into the troika coming back. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. No, we don't like that. I think fundamentally, though, I think, like, if a child has moved back into the family home with a view to, we're only here as long as we get the extension done, or we're only here as long as we, you know, earn the money to buy, blah, blah, blah. That's a deal. That's not, you know, you're still in my nest and I'm still raising you. That's a different scenario. And yes, you're totally within your rights to go, okay, what's the plan? Mm-hmm. I think approach it with the understanding that it is pretty crappy out there for young people trying to find somewhere to live. It's really expensive. It's really hard. And even if you do have the entire deposit in your handbag ready to go, you're still fighting against everybody. You know, it's a really, really rough scenario out there. So I feel really bad for young people trying to get their leg on the ladder. Having said that, I do think that a parent who's already raised their kids,
this is where I stand, you know.
You've already raised your kids.
Not in this particular letter, but in general in this kind of situation, it does tend to, there's a bang of the younger person's life
is more, important than the older person's life.
Yeah. And I disagree with that. Absolutely. I mean, I think they are of equal importance.
But there's a consequence of one and the other. I mean, without getting too deep into it, I think that, you know, the parents' generation and the choices that they make have an impact on the next generation and the next generation again. Mm. And we're always making choices that are going to affect generations coming behind us. We don't have any power to affect the generations that have gone before us, but we do have choices that we can make. And unfortunately, it is, you know, if you go back enough time, you'll have situations where everybody lived in the same house and we kind of evolved the way we live and then we think that's the way it should be. And things are changing in a different way. I don't know what way it's going to go, but young people living at home with their parents in their 30s wasn't happening 20 years ago and it's very common now.
I'm pretty sure that she doesn't want to be living with you either. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, she, and to make it a little bit easier, okay, the Amazon guy comes every other day and she's probably spending like
a little bit of a dopamine hit.
€6 on tanning face drops or something, you know?
Come on.
But then again, there you go. We have to find out what's happening. And the only way they'll find out what's happening is if they sit down and say,
have a conversation.
Look, we had this agreement and how far along are you with your deposit?
But how would you feel if then she was like, do you know what? I'm off to Australia, because that could happen. So choose your words. We have a text in here from Jim. This woman who has left the farm was obviously at home looking after her parents, and then Missy Moo, who wrote the letter, was off in Australia living the high life. This is the chicken coming home to roost. Well, wow. And another text. Neither I nor my brother inherited anything from my parents. My brother inherited the farm and the house, which was fair enough because he worked all his life on the farm. 6 years later, my younger brother doesn't talk to us. It makes communions very awkward. Okay, we'll move on to this. My boyfriend found some of my sex toys a few weeks ago and he was asking me about them. I use them when he's not at mine. He lives an hour away, so we only see each other a few nights a week. And I didn't mind telling him how they work and what they do for me. Some of them have a physical purpose. Others are for getting my imagination going or for use while I watch pornography. However, he now wants to use them together. But I find the idea is giving me the ick. I've never used toys with a partner before. Is this normal? It's always something I've done in the privacy of my own room, not sharing it with anyone else. I don't want to jeopardize the relationship by saying yes and then regretting it, or saying no and then he feels rejected. Which one of you'd like to take that one now?
I think Declan would be the...
Go on, Declan. You know all about sex toys.
This is what happens all the time. This is the whole thing. Oh, I know everything about sex. No. No, I'm afraid. No,
just, I want you to be embarrassed first.
Well, yeah. My ignorance, as usual, would be like laid on the table. Okay. I suppose what this is down to is everybody's sexuality is kind of different. And a lot of people have this kind of, you know, veil between the privacy of their own kind of thoughts and what they, how they pleasure themselves or how they want to be pleasured, even with other people, that they don't necessarily bring out into the universe. And I think what's happening here is that there's a certain space of this person's life where they're just dealing with the deed and it's giving them the result. And now suddenly the partner getting involved is turning it into a different thing.
It's an invasion of privacy. It's in a way.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. An invasion of privacy. But it's an invasion of privacy that's not understood as an invasion of privacy because the boundaries of privacy haven't been set up already. Because they're kind of done. The way that a lot of people act around sex and porn and all these kind of things is that they kind of act kind of almost like they're, you know, the subterfuge around it. They kind of hide. It's a bit, you know, concealed, and it's a bit kind of criminal in their minds. They don't want to talk about it. And this is causing this, even if they're a little bit positive about it, you know, open about it, they don't want to bring it beyond that. And that's
kind of
uncomfortable.
Well, I wonder if the boyfriend kind of assumes that, well, you have me and this is the purpose I serve in the relationship. Therefore, you don't need, like, that almost it's not cheating, but that, like, because she has a boyfriend, she doesn't need sex toys or pornography. And so he's trying to insinuate himself into those private moments. Because,
or he's just curious and he's kind of...
I thought it was two men, actually.
Oh, he's also... Say again?
I thought it was two men.
It could be two men.
Anybody.
It doesn't matter.
Maybe we won't assume anybody's gender now.
But the other thing that, as I was, you know, thinking about sex toys driving along the keys, is
which key was it, Mary?
Yeah, really. We'll never go there again.
I'm trying to think of a doctor name, and I can't think of a doctor name of a key. Anyway,
Bachelor's Walk.
Oh, there you go.
But now you've put me off my stroke. Sorry, you shouldn't have said that either. I got the feeling, and it's nothing to do with the actual sex toys or anything else, but there's a sort of a commitment phobic thing there too, I think. Or not maybe commitment phobic, or that person, the person who has the sex toys and is using the sex toys, is not in a place yet where they can share that part of their lives. And maybe...
But do they ever have to get to that place?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think that for them, that it is a discrete, separate part. And they're kind of going... Yeah.
So what happens then if they move in together and they're with each other 7 nights a week?
You see, that's
Well, they're not going to be there. I mean, realistically speaking, even if, you know, unless you're working
He's
and
living...
living
at home with the parents, 30 you know, years of it.
But even if you're living home with your parents, I'm sure you find a nice private moment.
So you're saying even if you're living with your partner 7 nights a week, this person will still find private time.
If it's such a private thing, then how does he know about, do you know?
There's a difference between something that's private,
and
meaning
secret.
That it's, yeah, exactly.
And secret, yeah.
Private
and
secret.
Yeah,
they're
different.
Right now. But okay.
There's sometimes this kind of proprietary thing that happens in relationships where people think, well, because we're going out, that means I own all of you. And I think there's a bit of it, come on, back off a little bit. Mm. And also that it's like that quote from Titanic where, you know...
Oh my God, you're quoting Titanic. Sex toys in Titanic. Go on.
You know the one, you know, like the, one of your whatever, friends. You know, that a woman's heart is very deep and... I don't know what I'm saying. Somebody help me out.
Okay, but I will read a text message that has come in because somebody is actually looking for genuine help, and it's not about sex toys. We are a large family with a small farm of about 20 acres. Our parents do not know what to do. They're leaning towards leaving the farm to me. However, I don't want the same situation happening as your letter writer. What should I do? Capital letters.
Yeah, but see, this is exactly the problem, is that if you're not open, you're not discussing it as a family. Yeah, but
they have a chance.
Yeah, your parents are alive. Tell them you don't want the farm.
Yeah. Everybody sit around and talk.
Oh, you have a big chat and you go, you say, right, this is the way it has to be. Mum and Dad have been running the farm for years and they know that it's not practical to split it down into, you know, like King Solomon chopping the baby in half. It's just not going to work. That's a Bible reference there. Now.
Look at you referencing the Bible and Titanic.
Don't
tell us you don't get a super education on the Moncrief show. My grandmother, before she died, she made me record her. She was like, you take out that phone now. And she made me record her saying, this is what I want to happen. And there'll be no fighting about it. And I still have the video. And there was no fighting about it.
And that's legal, isn't it?
She also had a will, but she wanted it in her voice.
Spirit.
I don't want any fighting about this.
Yeah. And I think that's what you could do in advance by having a chat and going, this is what we think. Because at the end of the day, like one of your listeners already said, it's down to the person who's making the will to disperse their product, their stuff, the way that they want. And that's it. Yeah.
We have another question here now, and I'd say you know all about this, Derek. Last weekend, my husband and I had our neighbours over for dinner. They are a couple of similar age to us who have kids who are friendly with our own. We mentioned that we're heading to a Greek island for our summer holidays and how much we're looking forward to it. They were enamoured by the idea, and as the evening wore on, it became clear that they wanted to join us. Neither my husband nor I explicitly invited them, but as the booze flowed, we didn't discourage it. Now I'm wincing at the thought. They texted us last night asking for the name of our hotel. I just wanted it to be a family holiday and I'm worried it's going to get destroyed. It's quite a delicate situation as they are our neighbours. How do I manage it? Sorry, I actually thought that that was going to end differently with the couple and the two couples, but sorry, go on.
It always ends differently with the two couples, doesn't it? It always ends differently.
This is a family holiday.
This is kind of like, this is like really cringy because you're in those situations and before you know it, somebody has almost kind of invited themselves along to the thing and you're like going, I have another glass of Beaujolais there, Maureen, hoping that tomorrow it'll all go the way of, like, you know, all of the...
I'm actually Scarlett sitting here because I'm the other neighbour. Like, I'm the one who assumes the invite. I've definitely done it before. Yeah, like, just because I misread a situation and then I'm always wondering,
anyone who invites themselves along on a holiday or assumes, maybe there was drink taken, but at the same time, automatically they would qualify as somebody I don't want to go on holidays with.
But would it not be nice to go if you've kids the same age and is it not?
But I think it's a risk because people holiday in different ways. And it's a bit like the Jekyll and Hyde. They all change and they get away. So I suppose it's a choice. You have to. What I would have thought was, again, straight talk and say, look, lads, you know, holidays are a big thing. Maybe we should just go away in a weekend to see if we don't batter the heads off one another first.
Just be straight up about it.
Just straight up about it. And you can make it as a joke about that if you want. But just to see. And then, you know, because I can you imagine... I just something about this family wanting to come and now give us the hotel. Sure, we're coming along. Aren't you delighted to have us? Oh, God.
Yeah, that would rattle me as well.
I would actually sell my house and move to another area.
I think, though, you're absolutely right. I think that, and exam what you said, Stephanie, there is about when people kind of come at you full on there and they're not really reading between the lines for whatever reason, that it then behoves you to kind of come out and say, well, actually, you know, I've been thinking about this. Maureen's really stressed at work. And we really need to make sure the holiday is just a chill time and we're not going to be doing anything. We're just going to be, you know.
But then they're going to come back and be like, oh, that's exactly what we want to do.
I know. You see, this is the thing.
This is what I'd be like.
No, we're not. We're going to be running around the place.
You could say that you are meeting friends. You could say, like, this is the hotel we're staying at. We're going to be meeting friends over there some of the days. But, you know, if we could probably grab a dinner, like, give them the boundary of like.
But then if you don't have friends, what do? You have to make up friends. You have to buy them.
Or you go on a day trip and you tell them you're making friends.
But if you don't want to do that, isn't that the problem? And again, I agree with you about holidays. Holidays.
You're going to have to sell your house and move and get new neighbours.
Yeah, I think so.
You're going to have to do.
That's what I do. I'd be so mean.
You're joking.
About
you would sell your house and get new neighbours.
I feel like doing, because I said, you know, please can we get Barbara wherever she is in a satellite phone, because I would be such a wuss about something like this. I really would be a wuss. I would cancel the holiday rather than have to.
Yeah.
I would.
I do think that sometimes, though, the little small signals or just not giving them the detail, you know, find an excuse to not give them the hotel information. Just hold off. Sometimes that in itself can kind of just can disintegrate the whole plan.
Yeah, but they could be then get all bitter and twisted about it.
Oh, here we have a text message that might solve it. Allow a crossover between your holiday and their holiday of about 2 days. This could actually be good fun. And explain that we want our time and you want your time. So if we were to come a little bit before we go or you leave a little bit early, that could work well.
Yeah, so like, it's kind of like your idea of having the short weekend together. Yeah, yeah, I think that's a good plan.
As long as they know, because the other thing that bothers me about it is with the drink and everything that was going on, this sort of came about. But in the cold light of day, they still asked for the name of the hotel. And that's what, it still bothers me this. I'm terribly sorry.
But that's why you could say.
They're pushy. But I would either suggest that, but honest to God,
but if
straight
nice
talking.
People who you have over to your house for a few drinks and they've kids the same age and your kids get on, how bad could it be if they're also in Greece with you?
I don't know.
I've seen it go bad, though. I have seen people, even people who are really good friends and they have like kids the same age. And it's just because when you go on your holiday,
it's a different thing.
People are weird. Some people are real like, I want to be at the top of the Acropolis by 9 a.m. Yeah. And I need to be down having my heroes and my beer at 1 o'clock. And other people are like,
POD,
the 1 o'clock
what's
already?
The plan of the day? Yeah. Like
and they're annoying. You could read them, I suppose. You could get them on the holiday and then read them. So if they're the top of the Acropolis, you do the
opposite.
You do the opposite, and if they're,
I think it's a good idea to say, "Hey, we're happy to give you the name of the hotel. You know, let's do maybe 2 days of an overlap, just so the kids don't get sick of each other or something like that." You know,
yeah, I could blame the kids. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, blame the kids.
Okay,
it's always the kids' fault.
Yeah, it is.
That's so why you can't let them have a farm.
No, you can't. Or you'll
or
have
sex
to,
toys.
Or sex toys. I mean, they can have sex toys, but they apparently aren't.
When they're old
share
enough.
Them.
When anyway, they're old enough before anybody starts.
We will see you back next week. If you have any burning questions or need some
Don't
advice.
Don't bother your Barney.
You can bother your Barney. Email afternoon@newstalk.com or WhatsApp us on 087 1400 106 and they will answer them next week.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on Newstalk.